What's going on, everybody? It's the OTL boys back in the building.
Hey, the trap is live.
Live for the first time in a little while. Mr. Gleason.
Hey.
What's going on?
Dude, just enjoying these holidays, man. Happy holidays.
What holidays? Dude.
I've still been I've been diving in, man. I love it.
I like it.
It is what it is.
You guys got a tree up yet or what?
Nope.
No tree.
Dude, I've been on a crossroads because I wanted to get one right after Thanksgiving.
You guys put up a little like palm tree or what?
We have this little.
You guys have Christmas trees in Hawaii?
Well, we have. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we have some. I take that back. There are some farms that grow them as well that you can go get like local evergreens? Ones. Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, we have Christmas trees. But in our house, we have a little like twig of a tree. That's fake. That has lights off
from,
of it.
From the apartment complex?
No, we got it. It was nice. But no, I want to go get a Christmas tree. I wanted to get it after Thanksgiving, but things have just been, I haven't been going all over the place.
Dude,
so yeah, so. And then we're going to Maui on Christmas Eve, so that gives us like 2 weeks. And I was just talking to Jasmine. I was like, are we going to get a tree? And hopefully we'll get one this weekend.
Going to come back to that thing being dead needles.
Yeah, for real. So I know. I was like, is it even worth it? But I still want to get one just for the 2 weeks, so. No, how about you? You all set up?
Yeah, we have a fake one.
You got a fake one?
Yeah, we just burn a candle, and then we have a fake one so that you still get the smell without the needles.
Here you go. That's probably what we should do. I've been sticking to my guns, and I got to have a real one.
I was that way until it was like, for the price that you pay for a tree, you can get one and use it every year.
Right.
And then put whatever on it you want, so I guess depends on how much of a traditionalist you want to be.
Yeah. I like the trees.
Yes. We do love the trees here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't about the rest of y'all crazies. But you're traveling, though. You're down in Cali recently.
Yeah, man. That was fun. Went down and coached a team, a little divisional team that called me up. And
what team is that?
They go by... Well, this is what I was confused on. They go by the Hooligans all year. And then we had discussions with them switching over to the Leashless. And then I showed up, and I thought there were the Hooligans, and I go on the roster and everything, and we're under Bolt.
We hit the remix real quick.
So I was like, wait, who's Bolt? My name's on Bolt. So it is what it is.
The Bolt.
But they play D3, and they're the ones that rock all the OTL jerseys. Hey. And then I have a couple of them as athletes. And so it was just a natural kind of segue for me to get in there. Their coach that they had had prearranged plans. So they called me like the week before and was just like, hey, you want to come on down? And I wanted to go just for OTL exposure and stuff like that. I was just going to hang out. And then I got back from Cup and I was just kind of drained and wanting to just get back caught up on things. And then that happened. So I was like, nope, right back to it. Let's go.
I like it.
Yeah, man.
That's a fun little trip. How was Cup?
Cup was fun, man. I know. We haven't chopped it up for a while, huh? Cup was fun. It seemed fine. You know, everyone was like, oh, my God, you flew down to Florida. To be honest, wherever I go, it just seems like the same thing. You know, everyone's wearing the masks when they are in the stores. And, you know.
You wear a mask for your profession, so.
And you wear masks for the, yeah, for paintball. And no, I mean,
if you're that Florida close, itself, if you're that close, it's a problem.
Florida itself didn't seem like anything was different, you know, but the tournament was fun. We fell short, but we had some great matches, had a real good match over against our boy Ronnie. That was probably the best match in our last match. So it was nice to end the season with a good match like that and to leave that taste in your mouth to be hungry for more, you know. So
who won it?
Dynasty. So a team out of San Diego. But Dynasty is one of the longest reigning, like they have the most wins.
They just stacked up.
They haven't had a win for a while now, for like over a decade.
As far as a win, as far as like the Cup win?
Yeah, the Cup win. Oh, okay. And then so they pulled it off this year. They were looking good. Brought back one of their old players and they look good. Hands down, they took it, so it was cool.
So, when it comes to paintball, so, like, money most of the time buys championships.
Mm.
So, you, like, obviously you have to be able to pay and keep good people around.
Sure.
So, is that the same way in paintball, like, there usually there tends to be like three to five top teams that end up with the best guys every year.
100%. Like, you know, and I hate to use that as an excuse, though, because I feel like anyone can win on any given day. But when you start stacking odds of just consistency, I think that's where you get the teams that are at the top tiers. They do have funds. Like, I'm not going to, you know, you can't beat around the bush. Right. They have funds that some of the lower tier teams, like,
so what is
Thunder and ourselves.
More funds, what does that allow a team to do?
So let's say your team's not all from the area, like Thunder, right? Then a lot of these guys will fly their guys in for practice, you know, so they can have more practices together, which is huge, because just adds to that cohesiveness. You can also fly or bring other professional teams that are also within those circles, right? The top tier teams, they usually will practice against each other during the events, whereas we're practicing maybe one of our semi-pro teams. And not saying that
we get away with a little bit more than if you're playing somebody at the top tier.
Yes, very much, you know, and it's just not the same thing.
Right.
The experience gap, you know, and some people might disagree, but it playing in the pros, even to the semi-pros, there's a big jump.
Totally.
There. So
yeah, I was just talking to Jacob off the air. We were talking about the college sports, and to us it's kind of like lackluster because there's just always a couple men among boys, you know, where it's like if you have that one of the top five guys, like he's just running over everybody. Like it's not even a close comparison, you know, and then you step up to, you know, say the NFL or the NBA when everybody's like just as fast as you, just as strong as you. And it's the little things at that point.
Exactly.
That, you know, you have to tighten up, you know, that you can get away with before, but you no longer, you know, can get away with just because of like that gap is so much smaller. So that's kind of what that sounds like.
Yeah. No, and that is 100. Like it, when you're at the pros, like everyone is pretty consistent with the skills, but it does come down to the experience and that who makes the least amount of little mistakes, which is 100% what takes us down. You know, it's like we were right there on most of our matches, right? And it's just the little things that add up that end up in the W or the L, you know? And so that's kind of what we've been working on. So, like, with that being said, like, another perk, right, of having a team that has deep pockets is that you can get players.
Yeah.
Because you can pay for them, right? I mean, you can pay for the players and keep them. Whereas, you know, a lot of us right now are just, we play for the love of the game. You know, we make it work. But we have people reach out and want to join the squad and stuff like that. And but they want money tagged onto it. And so we're just like,
don't we all?
That's not how we don't. That's not exactly our situation. So, but I say that with a grain of salt. You know, I really do feel like, yes, that does give you a little bit of an edge, but that doesn't give you an automatic. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't think that should be a barrier.
So what do you think are like the top five categories for like what makes a paintball player like the best? Like say I don't know it well enough, so I'm saying like in basketball, say like ball handling, shooting, defense, like what do you think in paintball like the top five categories that like you're looking to be the best at?
Well definitely you got to ball out with your gun skills, you know.
Whether so who has the best gun skills?
Fuck, I don't know. I couldn't even go into that.
There's who is like just impressive when you like watch me. You're like, oh, that's just like another level.
Well, hands down, like if you watch the Russians play, like
are they Russian guys?
They're a team from Russia.
Oh, okay. No, that was their team.
Not just all of Russia. No, so they're called the Russian Legion. Okay. But if you watch them play, like when you just watch how they run points and when it comes down to the little things, those guys are on it. Mm. And their gun skills are pretty top-notch. So gun skills.
So they travel from Russia every time there's a tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's gnarly.
Yeah, they're pretty nuts. So they're stacked with, like, they got coaches, like, stats. So they watch all the other teams and, like, break down every little thing.
I'm sure you have the whole country of Russia to choose.
Yo, they go in. Like, when you talk about it like a professional organization, I think they're they're leading the pack right now with like how it should be structured and stuff like that. Just the field awareness and how to break down a field. That's huge of just being, like, I just think of Corey, you know, our homie Corey, and dude, he's crazy with it. Like, he will walk the field on both sides, be done with it. And then like later that night when we're chopping it up about the field, he will tell you every fucking shot that is there, dude.
That's just crazy.
Like that photographic memory. I talk to him all the time. I'm like, dude, you got a photographic memory. Like, I can't do that. He's like, there's a fucking shot right here. I was like, dude, thank you for telling me. But like, you know all the fucking shots. And so, but that comes in clutch, right? Like when you're low body situations and you know where all these little shots are, and if you know where the guy is, you can easily just try and like swoop into that spot and get that shot out.
Does that just come from like time and experience, or is that just kind of like some people just kind of have that next level?
I think all of it. Some people really just have a knack for that. And I think some people develop it with experience. And then I feel like I think Corey has all three because he's been playing pro for 20 plus years.
Dang.
But he does have that he does have that photographic memory, which helps. And he has it. He's just clutch. So that was going to be my third one. Some people are just clutch. You know, I think that is a deadly skill to have. You can just have that spidey senses tingling, dude, and you got to make a move, or you know someone's coming, or they're going to try and run through that gap, and you just pop over, shoot a couple, and just boom.
Just that intuition.
And you're just like, what?
So who's the most clutch player you know?
Dude, there's a few. There's a few clutch players. I think I've seen, one of the Russians, his name is Fedorov. He plays for Houston Heat. So he plays for Ronnie's team. I've seen him do crazy shit that's just clutch, you know, like pull off a 1-on-3 or something. I don't know. Just a difference maker. Yeah, just stupid with the game, you know, like he just sees it differently. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So he would be on the list. I definitely think, like, since, you know, OTO, baby, athleticism is creeping up in the list. Before, it wasn't something that was very valued. You know, we had all shapes and sizes of players, you know, and you could get away with that.
Yeah, but it's more like minds versus minds.
Mm-hmm. And I think now with the way that the game's developing, it's just getting faster and more just athletic and sports kind of oriented, you know. And I think I think that's creeping in, is you have to stay up with the players in the game. So I do think athleticism is one. Yeah, man. Communication. You know, you got to be on point with being able to communicate with your team members. And I think teachable and, like, just being a good fucking teammate.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, like, I don't care who you are, you know, if you're not a good teammate, you're not going to be doing – you could be a great individual player.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if it's five on the field and you need to be able to work with them in order to be successful –
yeah, that communication piece is interesting from just, you know, what I've watched, and just to be able to have clarity, you know, with what you're saying and what you're trying to get across. It's kind of funny. We have a joke when those play Call of Duty, when people are like calling out where people are at. They're like, right over there, behind the rock, over there by the freaking tree. You're like, what? He's like, there's freaking a million trees, you know? And it's just like the clarity for people who just know how to explain something, you know, in a way that's clear when everybody's just yelling and screaming. Who have you played with that you just like makes the game, like you have more peace of mind playing with that person because of just like the handle that they have and being able to explain?
Corey. 100%. When he's behind me,
what's his last name?
Field. Corey. Okay. Field. Sorry. For people that don't know. Yes. My boy, Corey Field. When he's on the field, you know, he's on the field. His voice is loud. He gets a communication from coast to coast. You know where everybody's at, and he's basically joysticking you as a front player. You know, he will tell you exactly. And that's where that coming in, where like, even though he's in the back, and he knows probably which is the problem, right? But he probably knows my shots better than I know my shots. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But he's joysticking me around, just like, hey, you know, you need to do this, wrap around on this, and then shoot this, and then, dude, it makes the game so much easier, like, yes, for real. And yeah, 100%. That would.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just playing Call of Duty the other day with this a good buddy of mine plays pro basketball in Athens, and so he connected with this pro gamer from Athens as well. And we're playing, and I was just, like, spectating him. I was like, dude, there's freaking levels. Like, he just, like, watching him, he'll, like, roll up on a building with, like, four dudes in it, and he'll just play them like a freaking fiddle. Just, like, got him running around in circles. He'll, like, do something. He'll run around the other side. They'll pop out, and you're just, like, the whole time, everybody else is just like, oh, my God. Like, how you're just laughing there's because,
levels, man.
Yeah, it's just you just see things. It's kind of like, if you've ever seen Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr., the part, like, there's, like, a fight scene where mm-hmm. he's, like, about to do it, and all of a sudden he sees, like, 20 steps ahead of what's going to happen.
I love that.
And it's,
it
like,
breaks it all down.
Yes. And there's people who just, like, see life that way, mm-hmm. you know, where you just, like, all right, if I do that, then this is going to be the chain reaction. And having those people around you, like, are just so freaking valuable. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, it just brings you peace of mind where you're just like, just being around them, you're like, all right, we got a better shot because this person's here. It was interesting. Yesterday I was watching thing on ESPN, and they were talking about like the best players, you know, and like any team can beat any team. But they had an interesting breakdown. They said, if you take it back to like playground, you know, and if you had both teams lined up and everybody was just like lined out in front of you, like who would you choose? You know, and they were saying between these two teams, they're like, you know, this team might be better, but like to say that, or this team might be better because they play together, but the better players might be on this team, you know? So you line people up and you're picking them out like position by position. It's just interesting to think about how you, like, you could have the best players, but if they're not working together, to your last point, like, people who are teachable, people who are cooperative, people who are just, like, willing to put their pride aside for, like, the greater good, the amount that it's not something that shows up on a spreadsheet, you know? And it's, like, not necessarily something that's going to show up on massive stats, but it's the thing that, like, makes people win. And so it's just interesting, like you said, how games evolve, and sometimes you have to look beyond the stat sheet for, you know, what helps people to come out on top.
Yeah, and I was just talking about having, you know, the people around you and stuff like that, and as we close up into 2012, you know, I've been talking to a lot of my athletes.
2012, 2020.
Jesus Christ.
We take it way back.
Way back.
I wish we were 2012.
2020.
I'll go back to being 21.
This is where I got mixed up because it's going to be 2021. Dyslexia got mixed up and switched those numbers around.
I'll go back to being 21 right now. Don't get it twisted.
As we kind of end this chapter, and it's been a interesting one. I definitely think it's been a little shakeup in people's world, right? And as we look towards 2021, you know, and the people that we surround ourselves are important with and stuff like that. And I was just kind of going to hand that off. What are some of the things that, you know, you're looking forward to into 2021? What are some things that you want to bring into fruition? And, yeah, where are you at? Where's your mindset at?
That's a good question. I just put on message yesterday that said hindsight should be something besides 2020 because it ain't been nothing but clear.
I saw that. I was like, yee.
I think 2020 just flushed it. I think it brought clarity to a lot of things, a lot of people, and obviously not an ideal way. And there's just so many. I think the thing about 2020 was everything was just so heightened for no reason, you know, like, so emotionally heightened where everything was like a massive deal, massive problem. And just the ability to keep your peace is so valuable. You know, when you realize that, I think sometimes when you haven't gone through crazy stuff in your life, it's hard to keep things in perspective, you know? And I think that, this year, I think, was a time where like perspective is just a heck of a drug. And there's one of my favorite quotes is, you know, you show me a man's problems, I'll show you the man's vision. Mm-hmm. And I think that weaving our way through, we kind of figured out what our passions were. We figured out what we were motivated to do or not to do, figure out what we wanted and what we didn't want, you know? And I think it kind of put a microscope on your life and it said, you know, what do you think about it? So I think going into 2021, I'm excited just to step into a season where anything is fair game. Mm. And that last year, you know, when we started going to lockdown, I mean, you look back at those podcasts, it was panic, don't pivot.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, can you operate in chaos, you know? And
dude, which I still today think about, like, I probably thought about that every day during this whole year.
When yeah.
We talked about that pivoting.
Yes.
And just like, yeah, being calm in the chaos, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it's like, it's just like when you talked about with Corey, you know, there's people in your life that it's like, they can see, they know you better than you know yourself, and they can see like sometimes where you're going and what you need to do, or, you know, and they can keep you on track. And I'm super thankful for having, you know, like you in my life, and people who just like, they're used to the chaos. They like the chaos, you know? And I was just talking to my brother-in-law this morning, and we were talking about how this year and kind of going forward, it kind of turns you into every man for himself, you know, where it's like, no one's like, what are you going to do when you realize that no one's coming to bail you out? No one's coming to save you. No one's coming to just hand you money. Like, when you actually have to get down in the nitty gritty and figure it out for yourself, like, what is your response going to be, you know? And unfortunately, you know, this is obviously a roundabout answer to your question, but I'm just letting my
I love mind, it. No, I love go. It, man.
A lot of people, they don't know how to adjust, you know? There's a lot of people who can be, you know, entrepreneur-minded, but there's also a lot of people who work well when they, like, they know when to show up, they do what people do what they're told, and they go home, they live a very rigid life, and mm-hmm. this has been anything but a rigid year,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the problem is, like, when that shakes you up in every way, you know, when people around you don't agree with what you're saying, or, you know, people who, it just makes me laugh, especially with, like, politics, because before this year, like, 90% of these people would never said a single word about politics or anything. You know, all of a sudden,
let me roll my shoulders.
and so it's like keeping your vision on the mark, like major in the majors, minor in the minors. Like, I'm still not going to allow whatever is happening, whatever this chaos is, to change like who I am at the core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I still have to remain the same me. And the question is, how do you grow even more? Like, if you say that you're somebody who is looking to empower people, like, that's honestly one of the sad things. When I look, and I honestly, I try to stay off social media a lot more lately, especially like Facebook, where things are just like so heightened. Everybody's just like ready to spaz when they wake up in the morning. That the people who I've been around and I've done business with, and like, their one job is to empower people. All of a sudden, like, when politics get brought into it, it's just like a free-for-all to just talk trash all day, you know? It's like, okay, that doesn't line up with, like, who you say you right. are. It doesn't matter if you agree with that person or not. It doesn't mean you're not standing for justice for what's right. The question is, like, are you still able to see the best in that person, regardless if you agree in the moment, you know? And I had a lot of those kind of conversations, and that's what I've tried to do and moving forward is staying true to that, and, you know, holding fast to, you know, the visions that you've had and the dreams that you've, you know, you've created. And I just had a thought yesterday that was nothing legendary was ever deemed realistic. You know, like, when you change something, when you change the game, when you go against, you know, the current and you stand for something, like, you're always going to be unrealistic. You're always going to be, you know, not what would make sense. And the question is, like, are you okay with that? Are you okay with people, like, not agreeing with you? Are you okay with people, you know, not understanding where you're coming from or why you're doing what you're doing? Or, and my answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, at the end of the day, I really don't believe that you owe anyone an explanation. Like, the only person who needs to understand your moves is you. You know, obviously, it's on a different level when you're married, you know, because there has to, you have to find, you know, a congruent path moving forward. Doesn't mean you guys have to have the same vision. Doesn't mean you have to be the same person, you know, but there just need to be understanding of the motivations behind it, you know, and a lot of times we judge other people by their actions and we judge ourselves by our intentions. And that leaves a lot of people in a weird place, because you're, like, worrying about something that you have zero control over. And I think it's just important for us that, like, we control what we can control, and we put ourselves in the best position to win, you know? And I think that doesn't just stop with, you know, with life. It transferred over. Oh, it's the remix. It transfers across the board, and it's something that we have to, you know, flush out of what we want, who we want to be, and then making decisions that are as black and white as possible to take us closer to that point. So 2021, I mean, I think that this year's been a good one for OTL. I think a lot of what's been accomplished, you've carried that in a massive way with all the training and the athletes that are just so hyped. You know, I just love seeing all the athletes that pop up and
shout out to all the athletes out there.
Totally. Whoop. Totally with pride, you know, and it's only growing, and I'm just super glad that we have the community that we have, and that it's, you know, seeing messages from guys that are like, you know, I gained close friends this year. Yeah. And like through paintball, but they're not even paintball players, you know, and it's been fun with the gamers. I think we got like 35 people with the OTL tag. Yeah, that's
crazy, dude. I love it.
It's so funny. We're playing games and like somebody will like quit that we're fighting against, and they're like, oh, they disappeared. I think they quit. And it's like, yeah, they saw that OTL tag and they didn't want the smoke.
Hey, they're coming, man.
But no, it's just birds of a feather flock together, you know, and when you find a good community, you know, it's kind of like finding a music artist, and it's like people who listen to this person also listen to these, and you're like, you find that new artist that, you know, you hadn't heard before, but because, you know, they line up with that same morale, that same attitude, the same mindset, we get to carry one another, you know, and it's been a big pivot moving forward. And I honestly, I don't know. 2021 is, yeah, it's just an open book, you, yeah, know, it can go so many different ways, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife's very much, she likes to have things buttoned up, like three-piece suit style. Mm-hmm. And I'm like freaking Tarzan swinging from ropes, like keeping it crazy. And so that's always the challenge, you know, but I welcome the challenge, and I think it keeps us young and it keeps us moving forward. But what do you see? How do you see this kind of year wrapping up and moving into 2021?
Hey, that was great. I was fully engulfed with what you were saying, and super thought provoking. And, you know, it's like, even though, and I don't know, a lot of people ask me, like, where's Jeremy been? And I'm just like, I don't know. He's just doing his thing, which isn't a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just like, he's just doing his thing. And it's like, but I love, you know, when you meet, like, you have your best friends, right? And you haven't seen each other for a while, but then when you reconnect, it's like you guys don't even, yes, skip a beat, right? And that's what I love about our relationship. And it's like, I don't really need to be a helicopter friend and like know what's everything going on. Just knowing that you're doing your thing and whatever you're doing, I have like 100% faith in that you're doing it on your path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, yeah, this year, I think it's just exposed a lot of people, you know, and not in a bad way, but just maybe I said that the wrong way, but just
it's
maybe
brought to light,
maybe brought to light or revealed, who people are and kind of even more for yourself revealed like what you have in you, you know, because it has been a very unconventional year. And for the people that do have a very rigid lifestyle and very set in stone, it hasn't been the most comfortable year for those types of people
at all.
But for others, you know, we've been thriving, you know, and this year to me, I mean, like, yes, there has been some bad things that happen, but what year hasn't had bad things happen? You know what I mean? And, you know, we have a very odd time. And I think the biggest gripe that I have, and kind of tailoring off of what you were saying, and it's just in the conversations that we have with people. And this isn't even people that I don't know. This is like close people.
Yeah.
I feel like it's gotten to such a heightened sense of sensitivity that I feel uncomfortable talking to some people about it. And these are close people of mine, you know, and I just can't be true around them.
Yes.
Because we don't see eye to eye. And it's like, if nowadays it feel like if you don't see eye to eye with someone, then.
But you can't even be agreeable.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I even hesitate talking right now because it's been so weird, you know?
Yes.
And that's been my biggest gripe. I think it's just like people need to just like chill. For real.
Like chill.
Isn't that
F
the most
out.
Uneducated like answer? But for real, bro, it's like chill the fuck out. Yes. Let me just say that. Let me put it on record. Like chill the fuck out. And it's like, that's been my, so for me, looking forward to 2021, it's like, I joke with Jasmine too. I'm like, can't wait for that vaccine to come out. Then the world's going to be saved. Like everyone can feel safe again, you know? And it's just like,
and that's what I'm saying. But everybody waiting for that savior to come and he's not coming.
Yeah.
Like nobody's coming to bail you out.
I've been going in and it's like, dude, I'm looking around. I'm like, I'm in fucking tack. You know what I mean? Like I've been rolling the dice a little bit, but yes. Shit, I'm here, man. And, you know, I think, loved when you're talking about just our community, you know, let me just touch base with our community. And yes, I think we have been very successful this year with amidst of all this chaos, the amount of growth that our individuals within our community has made in the year with the odds stacked against them.
Come on.
Has been fucking dynamite, dude. People have been knocking down goals left and right.
It's been it's been like thunder.
With all with all the odds stacked against them, you know, still progressing. And I really think that that is a true testament to, like, just having that OTL mindset that was what we wanted from the get. So I just really wanted to like give kudos and give love to all of our guys. You know what I mean? And women. I don't, you know, I said that generally there. So men and women just out there grinding. And I think going into 2021, like I've been on my Zoom calls. That was one thing that kind of came into fruition this year. Zoom, hello. And
how did Skype drop the ball? That's all I want to know.
And then Zoom Skype just came in and swooped
Skype in. Skype had the run on the game for like since the beginning of time. And then it came down to crunch time. And Zoom said, hold my coke.
I think that puts 2020 in a nutshell right there. Bro. But no, so we've been really enjoying the OTO Zoom calls, and that's with our athletes. And, you know, and I really started asking the question around October. And I was kind of like, encouraging them to like not wait till January to start making 2021 goals. You know, I was like, you guys need to be starting now.
Yes.
And every month we've been kind of walking through the steps on like, okay, the next step is this, then the next step is this. So like in October, I all had them give me three goals that they envisioned for themselves for 2021. And then in November, I had them write out an outline of how they're going to complete or like how they're going to make progress towards each one of those goals.
Mm.
And then for December was scheduling out their weeks so that they have exact blocks of time where they know what they're doing. Maybe they have work from this to this, and then they have the kids or whatnot. But then where are those gaps in your day that maybe you spend a little too much time over here on social media or a little too much time over here on video games.
Take an inventory.
And where you can, you know, maybe cut it down just a little bit so you have a free block of time there that you can dedicate towards working towards your goals. So that was just some of the footwork that we were doing. And it's been really cool with just that process and putting it on paper and then putting it into the universe. Like, people's goals that they have wanted all year, and they're like, well, I'm going to really achieve this in 2021. Some of them are already knocking them off the list, you know, and that's just that's just what happens. So as we look towards 2021, like you said, I'm really excited on just the blank canvas that we get again.
Yeah.
I think that everything has been reset. This year was kind of like lay the foundation again and get ready for the next year, because I think it's going to be popping off. So you know how we always be scheming too. So there's some things in the works here. So I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I've been thinking about a couple of different ideas, and one was this idea of, are you doing what you're doing because it's what you want and need to do, or it's because what you think other people want you to do? You know, and that goes for everything. Like, are you saying things because that's what you really believe, or are you saying that because that's what you think you want people to hear? You know, even when you're asking the athletes about, like, what do you want, what are your goals, like, are they saying that because, like, that's truly what they want, or because they know that's what you want to hear from
right
them? You know, or politics, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think this kind of year is dangerous in that way, you know, because, like, when you feel like you always need to have an answer. And for, like, in fear of looking, you know, uneducated. And I think it's a scary place to be, because I think more than anything, the world needs to know that it's okay to not know something. Just flat out say, I don't know. You know, I actually don't know enough about that to have an opinion. You know, it's like, when was the last time you heard that?
Dude, I say that all the time. I honestly, I'm not joking. I feel like I just told that to someone the other day.
And the thing is, like, one of the things, like, your gripes earlier, and mine is, you know, people are just looking to cherry pick so much. Like, they just want you to agree with them so bad that, like, when you just offer another opinion, like, people just get flustered and frustrated because, like, you won't just, like, blindly agree. And, like, people don't want to, like, and so for me, my go-to, I'll just, like, disengage from the conversation. Like, they say, okay. And sometimes that makes people frustrated and, like, why can't you just talk with me without getting frustrated? I'm not frustrated.
Yeah.
I just know that this conversation is going absolutely nowhere. And we can come back when we're willing to have, like, an open conversation. And, like, sometimes, like, I'll completely agree with somebody, but, like, I'll play devil's advocate. Well, you know, it kind of goes back to, like, they're talking about somebody. This person did bop, bop, beep, bop, boop. And be like, well, maybe they did that because of this. Well, are you taking their side? No, I'm just, like, it's going back to that. It's going back to that action versus intention. Like, maybe if we can just get outside of our own thoughts for just a second and realize that there's this word called Sonder. We talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has a life just as complex as your own that goes on, whether you're aware or not. So everyone has their own thoughts. Everyone has their own ambitions. And everybody's doing the best that they think they can with what they think they have. And so when you actually start to view the world that way, you're like, oh, this person actually is doing the best what they think they can do, you know? And the question is, like, you have to partner with the idea of, like, what is the best a person could possibly be? And how do I partner with that person? Not the person that's standing in front of me right now. I mean, and these things, like, go throughout all of life. It's not just, like, fitness. It's not just, like, conversations. But it's all of life, the way you view people. Mm-hmm. You know, and Tyler Ackerman, shout out to him. He's been going so freaking hard. You guys are probably the two biggest hustlers in 2020 that I know. But he made me a shirt of one of my favorite quotes. Said, people are hard to hate close up.
I like
and
that
so when
shirt,
you actually
man.
Sit with someone and just shut your mouth, like, just shut your pie hole every once in a while. I just freaking listen. Like, stop listening to give an opinion. Just shut your mouth and just, like, practice listening and then just not saying anything. Just being like, okay, like, that's, I don't need to offer anything, you know? And what's interesting is, like, some of the most influential people, like that I've met throughout the years and sat down and have a conversation with, like, millionaires. Sit down and you have a conversation and they will listen to me as if, like, I'm their teacher. Like, that they have something to learn from me. They're not telling me, okay, well, that's nice, but you know, you probably shouldn't do that. Like, never once did they offer an opinion of how I should live my life differently. But they just sat and they just listened and they looked me in my eyeballs and they're like, huh, like, tell me more about that, you know? And that taught me so much about, you know, there's that quote that's like, no one who's doing more than you will ever criticize you for going after something, you know? And it's like, how can you partner with who someone has the potential to be to help them maybe see better in themselves than what they see in the moment? You know, when everyone's like calling for, you know, the SOS, like the world's getting so dark. It's like, well, how does darkness get darker? Because the freaking light goes away, you know? And the question is, like, is darkness or light more powerful? You know, so if it's darkness is literally the absence of light. So if you want the world to get a little less dark, be a freaking light bulb. Like, show up in people's lives in a positive way. Show them what they have the potential to be. And that's what I think we've done through OTL and through your direct contact with the athletes is you've shown them a better version of what they can be. You know, even the best, like, I think we have some of the best paintballers in the world with OTL.
Yeah, 100%.
And even they're met at a level where they're, like, getting pushed. You know, I listened to this interview yesterday with Mighty Mouse Johnson, who's arguably the pound for pound best all time UFC fighter. And he's talking about John Jones. And he's like, John Jones is the GOAT. And they're like, oh, well, he's like, but if I was the same weight, he's like, I might effing kill him. Like, cause I think I can push him mentally, physically, strategically. He's like, and so the guy who's asking the questions was saying, you know, so, like, oh, there's holes in his game? He's like, no, I didn't even say there's holes in this game. I'm just saying, I think with my ability to have strategy and my style and my ability to maneuver and read somebody, I think I can push him to another level. And it was interesting listening to, like, two of the best to ever do it, you know, is saying, like, even when you're the best, there's more.
Yes.
Like, and that's the thing when we partner with people in their life, they're saying, like, where you're at is great, but there's more.
Right.
You're doing awesome, but there's more. And it's not, and it's a little bit of a switch from this not enough culture, you know, where, like, there's people that you'll meet that will never, like, you give them $1 million and they'll be like, how come it's not $1 million at $1 million? You know, they're just looking for a gap. And when you're able to change that mindset with people, you know, and not that you're seeing a gap in them, but you're saying you're great, but we can figure out some more, you know? And
that's the exact same conversation that I have with these top athletes.
I absolutely agree with you.
That's exactly what we say. I'm like, look at the game that you're at now and just think of what I'm adding to it as a supplement, you know? Like, how much more can you push it, you know? And just, oh, yeah. You know, just
because the people at the top aren't getting those from very many people. Like, the best people are not getting pushed very often from somebody that they respect, you know? And so when you're able to meet them at that level and gain the respect, and I think at the top, it really does come down to respect.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and, you know, I could probably name 5 people right now that they won't even have a conversation with you unless they respect you, you know, which is sad. It's honestly really sad, but it's like that barrier to entry. Like, you have to prove your worth before you get, like, a seat at the table. And when you put in the work, which, like, I think we've done, and through your, you know, just your history of work that you've put out since we started putting out programs, you've gained trust all along the way where now people are like, you know, the word gets spread, you know, and people want to be a part because they don't want to miss out. But also, like, you've proven that you can take somebody from the lowest level, like a kid, to a pro athlete, and you can take them all to somewhere new. And I think that's priceless in a way where, you know, I just know from, like, the top line athletes, they're so unused to being talked to in a certain way. You know, like, you need to go harder. Like, when was the last time somebody heard that? You know, and that's the sad part is, like,
shake them up a little bit.
Yeah, because there's so much left on the table because, like, people are just on their jock strap all day. And when you finally meet them, they're like, all right, you're good. But you're like, you're not that good compared to, like, what you could be, you know? And people need to hear that. And when you look at them eye to eye, you challenge them, and you're also going to stand in the gap with them. You know, it's not like you're just talking trash or talk trash. Like, no, we're going to freaking go somewhere new. And that first look in your eye when they're like, oh, shoot, like, I ain't done that before, or that made a big difference, or when they post a video of them, like, dead sweaty, like, I'm absolutely murdered right now. It makes all of the time and effort worth it, you know? But it has to, and I think this is one of the reasons why we've always hit it off, is it takes courage, you know, to say, like, I have something that's going to make you better. And it also takes courage to just stand in the gap and have vision. Mm-hmm. For not only the person who's, like, not that good, but the person who's the greatest. You know, how would you have a greater vision for somebody who already has legendary vision? You know, and that's what I want to do in life, is just partner with people and partner with their visions, like, ask them questions, make them think about things and maybe in a different way, you know? And for me, you know, I think that's where I'm at personally, you know, juggling is what's the best avenue to help people in that way. I think I'm gifted in doing that, you know, and this is just me speaking honestly and frankly, but it's like, what's the best avenue? Is it like having sit down conversations? Is it with fitness? Is it with, you know, meeting people in the business world? But like, people need an advocate, you know, people need somebody that's in their corner. I don't care who you are. You need someone in your corner.
We need to get you in front of people.
Right. and so, yeah, I think that's the important piece, is that who we are stays intact, you know, regardless of those aggravating, annoying conversations, is that we remain agreeable, you know, and it's okay to disagree.
Yeah.
Coming full circle.
Yeah. You know, as we just bounce back and forth here, there's been a lot of things that I've been trying to rack in my brain, be like, note on that. And I'm like, I'm a little rusty here. I haven't been behind the mic for a while. But one thing that definitely was blaring in my head as you were talking was choices. We all have choices, right? We could have chose at the beginning of the year to go A or B, or we could, you know, we could pivot, or we could be in anxiety and stay where we're at, right? We could have the choice to follow the masses and what media has been saying, or we can pivot and think differently and how we're going to get around that, you know? Right. So it's like, this year has been full of choices, right? And I definitely can tell the ones that maybe got a little panicked and just shut down, and then the other ones that have been just letting their freak flag fly with choices, you know, and just going like all that, over
freak
the
freak flag fly, son.
Just going in, you know, getting creative as fuck. And so I think that was one thing that when you were talking about just talking with other people and being quiet and stuff like that, I mean, we all have that choice, right? And whether we're exercising that or not is another story. But also, as you started to dive into OTL athletes and the work that we've done, I got chicken skin, you know, because it's, and we've always said this from the start, but it's bigger than us,
yeah,
right? We've kind of gave birth to this thing, and it's just been a monster, right, in the making. And this year, even despite all the barriers, like I was saying, we really hit all of the marks that when we were sitting down at the beginning of the year, even before COVID happened, and we've checked them off the list. And, you know, I think what we really stayed true to is in the many conversations that we've had, I always think of blurring the lines, taking that top athlete and taking the bottom tier athlete, but just scrambling it together and blurring the line so there isn't so distinct.
Yeah.
And the unity that we can bring together.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's another thing that like I've had my blinders on and I've had my vision and I've just been having a backpack with a 1,000-pound weight, I feel like, and just taking one step at a time, trudging towards those goals. And I just think that OTL has really unified. And I try and, you know, paintball itself is not going to grow unless we change, right? Yeah. I think that there's a lot of things kind of stuck in the mud, and we're not going to change unless we all get together on the same page and try and elevate the game together,
right?
You know, and so it does go from the top athlete down to the bottom tier athletes, and how we can just work together to get that done. And I just think that, like, there's a lot of false unity out there right now that people say that we're unified in things, and I don't see it, but I do see it in OTL, and I'm just, you know, excited to see how together we can, like, progress the sport. And that's just for me personally, not like, I mean, yes, OTL is involved, but I think for me as an individual coming into OTL, that was one of my kind of personal goals, is to push the boundaries of paintball. And I do see that happening. So I'm really excited about that. And when you were going in and diving in about the athletes, I was getting chicken skin because I was like seeing that vision, like,
yeah, totally,
coming to life, you know? No, that's really cool. And it's really cool to reflect on this kind of end of the year podcast.
Yeah, it's, I think it's this bonding, I think it's a bonding agent. You know, I think it really is rare for someone to come after you and really show support for you. And I think especially with, I mean, I can't speak for females, but I know for most males, there's not a lot of times when people are just randomly in your corner, you know, who's showing you consistent support. And I know that that's something that we built within our community, where you're having phone calls, you know. And I remember going back to the early podcast when you're like, you know, my favorite thing is having these phone calls when 80% of it's not even about the program, you know. And because that's really what life is about, you know. And those things get you so much more, you know, buy-in. And like when you talk about blurring the lines, I've always said that there's few things that are sexier than work ethic. And when you know, you have a program and you may be a top athlete, maybe you're just starting out, but you're both doing the same program, there's respect because you know the work that's having to be put in order to complete those things. Like, and we basically get to create a language, you know, which is the bonding agent of any culture, you know. So that's whether it's, you know, a country, or, you know, that's one of the big, like, bonding agents of, like, say, like a CrossFit, you know, they have their own language. So that's like a bonding thing when you meet somebody else who can, like, speak that, like, language. And same thing when you bring in, like, a training partner, or, you know, you have an understanding about the pains and the progress. And when somebody you can count on being in your corner, it's not like you're getting paid millions of dollars, you know, to be doing this, you know, full time, or to be making these phone calls. But I think that the impact that you make, you know, will go so far beyond even what you'll ever get to hear, you know. And the, I had a great conversation, the other day in regards to that. And they were saying, like, I tend to care about people, like, too much, being gracious too much, going out of my way, giving too much of myself. And I just don't believe that there is such a thing, you know, because I would rather go down knowing I gave, like, people talking at my funeral being like, he gave literally every last thing he had for everybody that he met, you know, than being like, damn, the guy was, I mean, he did his thing, but I didn't really know him that well. And, you know, he's kind of, I asked him for stuff and he's kind of stingy. Like, that's just not part of who I am. And I really believe that, you know, people are always worth my time. Always. You know, my last dollar, doesn't matter who it is, what it is. And the conversation we had with this person said, well, I used to be like you, but then people took advantage of me and, you know, I've never heard from them again, and this and that. And I said, thankfully, honestly, I'm so grateful. And I hadn't really thought about it, but, you know, years down the line, we're talking seven, eight, 10 years on the line, you know, people come back around and say, hey, Jeremy, I just remember when you did this for me and that like really changed my life, you know, or they'll send me a message or I'll send a tweet and it comes full circle. And it's like those moments where you're like, man, I totally forgot about that. But like, I remember in that moment that cost me a lot, but that like in the long scheme of things, the impact that it left on that person's life was so much larger than what it cost me in that moment. And the person was describing like, well, I haven't had any of those conversations that come back to me saying like, I sorry I took advantage of you, or I'm, you know, I just now realizing how much you did for me. And that kind of clicked, and I was like, man, my like hope and prayer for you is like this next season, and like those people, you know, in the next couple of years, you get to hear some of those stories, because that like honestly, it like made me emotionally sad to see someone who like kind of like gave up on going all in on people because like all they ever got was screwed over. And to not see that thing come full circle is a painful thing to hear coming out of someone's voice, but it comes back to that root of like, I'm doing this not because I literally have my arm regardless of reciprocation, because it's who I am. It's not because I'm looking for something in return. If I get something in return, awesome. I mean, I'm not going to say that doesn't feel good. But I'm not doing it because I'm looking for it. I'm doing it because it's who I am, you know? And that is what we get in this tension of is like, it's like we talk about 2020 is like every man for himself. So when you're constantly getting bombarded with all these things and there's nobody in your corner, and you realize like you look around and you're like, I'm by myself. You get into this defensive mode where like, as soon as somebody disagrees with you, you like go on the defensive and you're like have to defend yourself and you're just like screw everybody. Like I'm just going to protect me and myself alone. And it's a sad place to be because you're only going to the same walls that keep painful and harmful things out also keep vulnerable and intimate relationships out.
Yep.
And so there is no worthy, you know, prize without sacrifice. And there's no, you know, worthwhile relationship without, you know, some hiccup, some pain, some like having to overcome. But like, if you keep your mindset based on people are worth your time, people are trying the best that they can, are they going to fall short? Most likely, more often than not, people are going to fall short. But if your vision remains on who this person has the potential to be, and the relationship that I constantly want to build and how I want to show up, then it will take you out of that hurt place, and it takes you from being hurt into hurting for others, where you actually grow in empathy as opposed to refraining from it. And I think that is going into 2021 is just like my desire for people, for our community, for the people that we encounter, is we can just continue to create this culture, and hopefully in paintball is like create this culture where you're constantly looking for the best in everyone and you like want people to be better. There's this interview talking about AAU and how it changed the NBA, where like everybody's friends now. Like there's few guys in the NBA that are just like hated and hate everybody, but most of them are like good friends, you know? But how much better that makes competition, because you want the people you're playing with and playing against to be as good as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and some people don't want that and they're probably not going to be great. But then again, you know, it's like you want to support people. So like cussing somebody out in the moment is probably going to get your point across. But at the end of that conversation should probably be like, hey, you're smarter than that. You're better than that. I've seen you play better than this. Like, let's get our stuff together. As opposed to like, you freaking piece of trash. Like, I don't even know why you're on the field. Like, what about that is going to help that person at the next point play better? Like, it's not. And so if we can change the culture, like how powerful that is, you know, creeping in when we're getting people from like all these different teams, you know, that exponential, like when they're used to the OTL community, and they go out to their own team and their team's like talking trash. Like, hey bro, like why? Let's like, we're all on the freaking same team here. And all of a sudden you see this exponential growth. And they talked about if you start with a penny on a day. By if you double that penny every day, by the end of the month, you reach $10 million. So penny, first day, 2 pennies the second day, 4 pennies the third day, and double, you get $10 million by the end of the month. So same thing with like exponential growth. When we get these athletes and they go out to their teams and they go out to their families, like that's the stuff that inspires me to the core. It's like you can freaking inspire millions of people by inspiring one, you know? Like that's why I love watching like Ronnie's stuff and yeah. like seeing him involved, but then, you know, just the impact that he gets to have and hearing his story and that stuff comes full circle. And like when you talk about impact, not just on the sport, but like on the people that, I think that's what makes like all the energy and time worthwhile. But
that's really
cool. My voice is croaking now.
That's really cool. If I can just add right before, I know we're going to wrap up, but it's so funny that you, I was just cracking up because it's so funny that you mentioned that because I do get heat, you know, for branching out and training these other professional athletes, right? Because I think that is a very old mindset. It's right.
Yes.
They're them. Like, you yes. know, we're us and they're them or yes. whatever it is. You
absolutely.
Know
what I mean?
And like there's lines drawn and I've definitely been just diving through those lines and freaking erasing them. And
because you ain't scared.
And no, I'm not. And you know, I've had conversation. And when I just was having conversation with Alex Goldman, who's the most recent pickup that we have. And, you know, he is probably the post. I don't even want to say
drum
poster
roll,
boy.
Please.
I don't even want to say poster boy. Like, sorry, Alex. I didn't mean to say like poster
now,
boy.
I don't think there's anything bad about you. Poster
he
boy.
He is the athletic. When people think of an athletic paintball player who is at the top of the game, they think of Alex, right? And then so when I approached him and we started to talk about training and stuff like that, and I was like, hey, well, if you want to, you know, change up your training program, like let's get it. Like I'm down to like take you through my programs and stuff like that. And we were joking. He's like, are you sure you really want to make this monster even more of a savage or something like that? And I was like, 100%. I was like, hell yeah, I do. I was like, dude, I'm not going to be the best player that I can possibly be if you're not being the best player that yes. you could possibly be. You know, and I think he was kind of sold after that. And I was like, dude, I don't give a fuck. Like, let's train. Like, this is what yes. I do. This is what I love to do. And then, like, he's been kind of diving into it a little bit. And, like, my initial pitch is that it's a training program, right? But then you know me. Like, I start leaking in other things here
yes,
and there.
The
you
personalization.
Know? And yes. And he's like, dude, this is dope. Like, you know what I mean? Like working on mindset stuff, working on these little things. That's not just training, you know? And then you know, on top of that, he's like, dude, I've never done some of these movements before. Like I realize that I'm not warming up like I should be and this and that. And so you start, it yes. starts growing.
It's a give,
right?
And there's a give and a take. Like he's, you have the ability to learn as much from him.
And for sure.
So it's that like, it's network or die. Time.
Dude, how am I going to get the best player if I'm not networking with these other great players?
Yes. And so, like,
it's a no brainer.
The only time we talked about this going back to like the first gym that we worked at, like, the only time you're worried about some, the competition getting bigger is if you're scared about what you're putting on the table.
Yeah.
That's the only time.
For sure.
So it's like, freaking, I hope all these other guys got training programs. Like, let's freaking put the best out there, you know, like if we really want to be the best, freaking let's get everybody on the same playing field and freaking let's go at
let's
it.
Let's go.
You know, and there's one thing I know about you. It's like you ain't scared by not a damn thing. So
never, man.
That's the whole thing. It's like being, let your freak flag fly. I like that. You know, it's like freaking we go like,
let's get down.
If you scared, I mean, I don't know if you can last on the team, you know what I'm saying? But we going to make it. Everybody better. No, that's legit. That give and take is so huge. And I've gained so much from, you know, networking people and just asking questions.
Yeah.
Like just not being scared to ask questions. Like, hey, what do you do? Like, what's your mindset? Like picking people's brains.
Not
and
having the pride knowing that you think you know
yes.
everything.
Like, and that's God how dang. You bring value to someone else's life, you know, by actually showing that you recognize that they have something that you don't have. You know, that they have a knowledge that you haven't seen all the things that they've seen. You haven't seen all the plays. You haven't seen all the training programs. You haven't seen, you know, all the games that they've seen. So, like, that mindset of, like, I'm constantly looking to take in as much as possible and give out as much as possible. Like, you put yourself in a place where everybody wants to be around you, everybody wants to listen to you, and everybody feels like they have something to give to you, you know, and that's a place that I think we always want to find ourselves.
Dope. Just a sidetrack. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, my friend.
In November.
Appreciate that. Yeah, man. I don't think you'll ever forget my anniversary time.
I won't.
Right around cup. Right, he's going to be like, I think Jeremy got married. Time
around it. Yeah, man. That was, and you know what? It's right around my clean birthday too. So that was really cool being at cup and celebrating that.
I bet.
And seeing all the athletes out there. That's what I meant to mention too earlier was at cup. All the fucking athletes, dude. It was so cool.
I bet.
Like, it was so cool. And I had time to kind of go around and watch all their games and stuff like that. And it was just, it was truly humbling. And to have, you know, also be celebrating that. And
yeah, congratulations.
It was cool. It was just cool. It was just cool to see us out there. You know what I mean? We're out there. So it was cool.
No, I think you deserve a big congratulations and as much honor as I can give you for not only, you know, the time and effort that you've spent, but you know, like you said, that clean birthday and all those things, you know, it's been a pleasure.
Well, dude, it's a kudos to you making it through your first year of marriage in lockdown. So
in shackles, complaint.
That's a big one right there. That's a big hurdle.
A feat nonetheless. All right, homie. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Where can they find you?
My personal IG at Patty Gleason. Facebook, Patty Gleason. You can find us at Off the Leash Lifestyle on IG. Looking forward to a new phase releasing Movement in January. The leash list was just wrapping up with this one. Was very successful, and then look forward to just some of the other schemes that we got going, man. How about you? Where you at?
Just about everywhere. JER_AM_I. I just reactivated the Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of fun. So you guys can catch me there. Other than that, stay tuned, my friends. Stay off the leash. Woo! You know what it is.